Hi, welcome to That's My Purse Pod, the podcast all about King of the Hill. I'm Jason.
And I'm Jimmy.
How was your past weekend?
I don't know what I've been doing this past weekend. I've been walking a lot. I've been going to a lot of parks and walking around outdoor malls lately. I guess that's what I've been up to. That and I didn't know I was obsessed with Rihanna until Rihanna performed at the halftime show. But I feel like I'm this way with every halftime show. I don't know about you. I don't know. Did you watch the halftime show?
I did not. But I apparently didn't. It was I don't know. I don't know if it was actually controversial or if it's just people on the internet being people on the internet, but I heard it was an interesting one.
I liked it a lot, but there's very rarely a Super Bowl halftime show where I'm just like, oh, that was not good. But I'm throwing this out there to like everyone who's done a Super Bowl halftime show. I know you're all listening to the podcast. Put your mixes on Spotify or Apple Music, or preferably Spotify because that's what I use. But put that like mega mix of songs you performed, that remix versions, on Spotify, because I want to listen to it all the time. I've been listening to I have a YouTube Premium, not trying to flex, but so I'm able to watch videos and use as my audio. So I've been listening to the halftime shows on repeat, but I just like kind of the mix of like all the different songs from their career woven together. So I'm really, that's what I've been jamming to this past week.
Yeah, that's nothing wrong with that. I have YouTube Premium too, because granted, maybe I'm just grandfathered in. I have no idea what it costs now. But to me, $10 a month to never deal with an ad is totally worth it. Because I have Netflix, I have Hulu, I have Disney Plus. I would say if I did an actual analysis, I'd probably get most of my entertainment from YouTube.
Yours is $10. I pay like $16.
Okay, so yeah, I'm probably grandfathered in because I've had it for years.
Okay, I'm a little upset now because I had it when it was called YouTube Red. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I had it then too.
Why am I paying a premium price? I'm so upset right now.
Maybe I got it like a year or two before you, I think.
Oh, maybe. Maybe you're early adopters.
Yeah, I might be wrong, but I think I got it in 2016, so.
I don't remember when I got it. Okay, I guess I'm going to believe that. That way I can sleep well tonight.
Yeah, there you go. It's not, they don't have anything against you. I was just, I've just been fortunate and grandfathered in.
You say that if this was a movie, that's when it cuts away and like zooms out and then zooms in on like the YouTube headquarters and them like with my picture on their screen being like, send the email, we're upping the price by $1.
Knowing our luck, that's how it would be.
If I get that email tomorrow, I'm going to be upset, guys.
Oh, I mean, it's only a matter of time before they change it for me too. I mean, granted, maybe us grandfathered in people aren't costing it that much, but I imagine at some point it will be like, okay, let's go ahead. You guys have gone along. You guys have gotten up way with this free ride for a while. Now you got to pay up what everybody else pays.
I'm just gonna throw this out there, for all the subscription services out there. Like, I know you're listening. Do not raise your prices all at one time. Like, if Netflix, you're going to raise your price, make sure, like, Disney and HBO and whatever else, they're not raising theirs the same, you know? Spread it out a little bit. And then make really good content, everyone. Because, you know, I'm at that point where I'm really having to, like, think about, is this worth it? You know, is paying this extra price for this thing worth it if there's not a whole bunch of new content for me every month? I don't know. Do you run into the problem where there's like nothing to watch, but you have so many streaming services?
Honestly, I think it's, and I've heard a lot of people talk about it too. I don't think that the way streaming services are running now is sustainable. I think inevitably a lot of them will collapse, or maybe not collapse, like completely go away, but be absorbed into other ones. Like, I mean, we're already seeing HBO and Warner Brothers. We see them being bought out by Discovery, and Disney already owns Hulu, and I want to say Nat Geo and ESPN. So there's nothing really stopping them from, you know, taking away or merging because having multiple brands isn't helping or whatever. But yeah, I don't think it's sustainable because there's just not, there's only X amount of content that you can create, and there's only X amount of money that you can make use to create content. So
true. I mean, but just make better content, everyone, or make things that I'm interested in. I guess cater to me, please. That's all I ask.
Yeah, I think nowadays it's just like, we want to get as much content out there as possible so that people will listen to us, or people will keep subscribing or whatever. And so just throw a bunch of stuff, and some of it might be good, and a lot of it, quite frankly, is not.
Yeah, this is very true, because sometimes I'll go through, I have almost every subscription service, like Peacock, Paramount Plus, Hulu, Disney Plus, everything. And then there's times where I'm just like, I don't know what to, like, there's nothing to watch. And then I'm just like, I guess I'll just watch Avatar The Last Airbender again.
Mm-hmm.
And then at that point, shouldn't I just buy it and just watch that on its own?
You know, I do the same thing where I'll watch a lot of the same shows over and over and over again. I mean, I don't know how many times, I mean, aside from King of the Hill, I don't know how many times I've gone through, like, House MD or Avatar or Fullmetal Alchemist from start to finish.
True. I guess that's what makes YouTube so great. Because it is like a whole bunch of creators trying to pump out like all different kinds of content. So there's always something new for me to watch. So I guess that's why I always end up on YouTube usually.
Same here.
But on that note, how was your week? What have you been up to this past week?
You know, not a lot. I did hang out with some friends. We got coffee, which was fun. I'm not a huge football. I'm not a huge sports person in general, which is interesting. Maybe it's because I grew up in San Antonio, where we only had one professional sports team, the Spurs. So I just never really cared about sports that much. But I've never been a big sports fan. So I did catch a lot of the trailers for new movies that came out. So that was kind of cool. Or new movies that are going to come out. That's like the only thing I cared about in terms of the Super Bowl. But beyond that, I went ahead and just kind of hung out with friends. Got brunch, got boba tea, got coffee, all that good stuff.
Oh man, boba tea always is a good thing. I'm also not into sports, shocker. This year I am trying to get into sports. I have picked a baseball team. I am a fan of the Houston Astros now. Two reasons. One, my friend is an Astros fan, so makes sense. But second, I looked at every Major League Baseball team's mascots, and I said, which one appeals to me? And the Houston Astros mascot is this alien called Orbit. So I'm like, I think that's where I'm going. So I am an Astros fan now. So maybe I'll be talking more about baseball or not. We'll see how long this lasts.
Yeah, I guess. So now that I live in the Bay Area, I feel like I'm obligated to like choose a team, whether it be the Niners or the Sharks or the Golden State Warriors. And, you know, sometimes I'm interested in what the Golden State Warriors are up to, but honestly, I just don't care.
I do think it's hard because I figure, did you grow up like in the sports world as a kid?
I did not. My mom was not a huge sports fan. So it wasn't like we grew up watching, you know, football every Sunday or whatever.
I that is very same for me. My family wasn't really big into sports. My extended family is, but not us. So it's really, I feel like if you didn't grow up with it, it's really hard to kind of jump into it. Because now we have other hobbies that we're really into.
Yeah, I have friends who got into sports after the fact because, like, their girlfriend or boyfriend or spouse or whatever was really into it. And, yeah, I guess that makes sense. But I've always just not cared.
Yeah, watching it is kind of boring for me. But when you actually go to a game, I'm very into, like, the atmosphere of the game makes me into it.
Fair enough. I feel like it would be a different feeling if I were actually at the game versus, like, sitting and watching it. Even if you're at, like, a sports bar, it's a very different feeling than being at home watching the game.
Yeah, just the crowd. The crowd getting you, like, all pumped up and everyone cheering.
Exactly. I used to do that with one of my friends years and years ago. He was dating a woman who was a sort of Pittsburgh fan or something. And there was a Pittsburgh bar in Austin. For all I know, it doesn't exist anymore. But it was a downtown Austin. We went to the bar one time and watched the game. And I was like indifferent because I'm like, yeah, I don't care about sports. But it was fun just getting kind of that energy of people watching TV.
You know what, though? I am into esports. I'm a big League of Legends fan. I'm not that good at playing it. But I do watch all the matches, so I guess I kind of understand that. I really want to go to a live tournament or a championship one day. But I guess I kind of understand it all. But, yeah, Super Bowl, I like it because of just the gathering of people.
I agree. But I've never been to a proper Super Bowl party, so maybe that's, like, why I don't care.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think a Super Bowl party is like chips, dip, pizza, wings, beers. That's like the classic Super Bowl party.
Yeah, I guess so. That would make sense. And I've never had like a major one, like maybe a small gathering of people, but not like a real one you'd see, like you see on TV or whatever, which I think would probably disappoint Hank. Because, you know, Hank and the guys are huge on football and Super Bowl is pretty much church to them. Or I think, no, I, as pious as Hank is, I think it would probably be like maybe one notch below church. But still, it would be very important to him. But yeah, I know there's been a few episodes that revolve around Super Bowl and whatnot and big football games. So. This episode is not one of them, but we can still talk about it. It kind of feels like we should have done a Super Bowl episode instead to be topical, but we didn't. So this episode is our episode 49. It's My Hair Lady, which is season 8, episode 11. So getting close to those later seasons. I kind of consider these like the mid seasons, and I've probably talked about it before. I feel like the late seasons are kind of 10 through 13, maybe even 11 through 13. That's when they kind of feel like they have a completely different vibe. And then say like 5 through 9 or so are the mid seasons, and like 1 through 4 are the early seasons. So this is kind of mid season or mid series rather. But yeah, this is a Luann and Bill episode, which you rarely see and these two together. So it starts off at the community college. They're in an American history class, and I don't know what they're learning because the guy's going on about, like, the first ice cream served in the White House and whatever. Luann's getting bored, and so she starts playing with the girl's hair in front of her, and the girl's like, "Are you doing my hair?" So Luann's like, "Yeah, your hair is knotted. And I was trying to fix it, or else your hair will fall out. I'm sorry for fixing it if that's what you wanted." And the girl's like, "No, you can fix it." And then time passes, and Luann does a really good job on her hair. And it's like, "Oh, man, you're really talented." And Luann's like, "Thanks." She pulls out hairspray and sprays it, and everybody starts coughing. And the teacher's like, "Miss Platter, are you here to learn history or do hair?" And Luann's like, "Hair." We go to the Hills house, and they're having dinner, and Bobby's like, "The mashed potatoes aren't as buttery as normal. Did we go poor?" As Luann enters the room, she announces that she quit college. Peggy's upset about it because she's worried about Luann's future and Luann needs an education, whereas Hank is like, well, she's been there for 2.5 years and it's a 2-year college. Maybe this is the world telling her that this is not for her and stuff. And you know, Luann's like, I want to go back and do hair. And Hank's like, yeah, my barber Jack says, you know, hair grows even during a recession. And so, you know, it's a kind of a recession-proof job, I guess, is what he's getting at. And Peggy's like, okay, well, Luann doesn't have her license. Remember, she failed her exam. And, yeah, that's kind of, I mean, it's a good point, but it's also not a nice thing to say. I'm kind of on both of their sides. So I'm college educated. I know a lot of people who are college educated. Most of my friends are college educated, save a few. That being said, I don't believe everybody should go to college. I believe everybody should be educated and trained to do a job or whatever, and everybody should expand their horizons, but I don't think a 4-year college is the right path for everybody. There's some people who will go to a trade school or something to that effect. So I'm kind of like on Hank's side where it's like, hey, you know, maybe she's not college material.
Yeah, I mean, Hank has a good point. Now that I think about it, I don't feel like Hank's college educated.
No.
Because he was at the Gene place and then Buck just picked him, like, plucked him out of there.
Absolutely, that's what happened.
I do think, like, Hank understands the value of just, you know, having a trade and kind of being that. And he sees that Luann's not succeeding over in the college. He's like, well, you know, maybe it's a time for a change. So, you know, I like that. And Luann is very passionate about hair.
Mm-hmm. She is. That
makes sense to me.
She is. And I think that is something she could do well with. I mean, I've gone over it many, many, many times that I wish they would have gone more into her mechanic skill, but I'm fine with the fact that they have her being good at hair.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad she just, I don't know, gives her some independence, her having her own career.
I agree 100%. And I guess it is nicer seeing her actually, like, try a career out versus continuing to go to college and not getting anywhere.
Yeah.
So we get up, we go outside to the alley, and Hank's like, you know, Buck Strickland never went to college, and he runs 4 businesses and never writes things down. And I don't know if this is supposed to be a kind of one of those sly references or whatever, because, like, not writing things down is also something that number runners do, or did back in the day anyway, because, you know, if you're caught by the police and you don't have anything written down, what evidence do they have against you? So it's, and Buck definitely has a gambling problem and whatnot. So I'm wondering if that's like one of those clever references that only the most in the know people will get. But anyway, you know, Bill's like, yeah, college wasn't for me. The Army made sure I knew that. And Dale's like, you know, we all talk about colleges, but have you actually seen one? Bill thinks Luann should join the Army, but Hank's like, oh, Luann thinks it's mean. She wants to do hair, but she can't, you know, pass the license. And Bill's like, well, I mean, if she just needs to pass a test, I could help her with that. And Hank's like, oh, great. Well, just don't scream orders at her. And he's like, okay. So Bill and Luann work on everything, and Bill is like giving her confidence and saying, hey, I'll tell you something that they told me early in my career. It will grow back. You do a good job, you do a bad job, the hair will grow back. And Luann's like, oh, you sure knew a lot. And Bill's like, yeah, life's full of possibilities and stuff when I was younger. And she's like, after I pass my exam, I will live out your dreams, Mr. Dotrieve. Exam day hits. Luann has her patient. Luann has her customer, her client, and she is getting ready to cut, but she's like all nervous. And then she looks at like one of the pictures on the wall and it turns into Mr. Dotrieve. And he's like, it will grow back, which gives Luann the confidence she needs. And she passes. So, yeah, I think I like this because it actually shows like one of the better parts of Bill. Like, Bill's not a bad guy. I think he's like socially inept a bit. And I think a lot of it might just be due to his depression or whatever. But I think, like, at his heart, he is a very good guy and he wants to do right by people.
Oh, definitely. When Bill's in his element and, like, he's able to help people, or when he's ever, where he's given, like, the guidance part, where he has to lead someone or he gets to be one-on-one with someone. Because do you remember the episode with, like, Bill's trying to find his relatives and he makes all that barbecue sauce and the ribs. And then he teaches Bobby how to do it.
Yep.
Like, he's really good at mentoring people. It's just, I think he's just so hard on himself. And it's not like, you know what it is? It's like younger people understand Bill. Like, younger people give Bill the chance. And kind of like, not that Hank and Dale and Boomhauer are mean to him, but they kind of see like, Bill was this thing and then he fell. Well, other people don't know like Bill's failures too much. So they're kind of like open to seeing what he has to offer.
They could see past his like his shortcomings and whatnot and see the qualities of him that are positive.
I mean, this episode takes a turn with that. But Bill's a great guy. Like, when he's great, he's great. I guess I'll put it that way.
I agree. He is a very good guy when he wants to be. And he, at his core, he's a good guy. Let's leave it at that. I mean, there's not much else to dive on there. The next day, they're kind of at a hair supply store. Hank and Peggy are trying to be supportive of Luann and helping her shop and stuff. And Hank's like, oh, look at Luann. She's starting a career. Next, she's going to be complaining about her taxes. And Hank's like saying this in a happy way because this means she's becoming an adult. And Peggy's like, well, prepare for the grind of the job hunt and constant rejection and stuff. And apparently the owner of this new hot hair salon called Hotties overhears them speaking. It's like, oh, are you looking for a job? It's like, yeah, it's like, oh, yeah, I own Hotties. What? You're the one who owned Hotties? You brought the ponytail to Ireland and then declared it unpopular, and you brought all the vibe and stuff. So, like, I guess she's the new trendy person, and her hair salon's a trendy place. It's like, yeah, you could join. Our chair's fee is $1,400 a week. And Luann's like, oh, see, Peggy, I was able to get this. And Peggy's like, well, where are you going to get the $1,400? And just so happens, Bill is there doing his own shopping. And he's like, oh, I could lend you the money. And Luann doesn't want it because she's like, well, I can't just take the money. How about this? You give me the money and we'll split the chair. And it's like, at first, Bill's like, oh, that, you know, that's a young person's game. So Luann tries to give him like a inspiring speech. And she's like, oh, but you have to take this chance. If you don't take this chance, you'll end up miserable like Mr. Dotrieve. I mean like
do you think they say that often, like just in themselves, and then she didn't realize that she was talking to him? So that's the pep talk they give to each other. They're like, you'll end up like Mr. Dotrieve.
I'm certain that happens all the time. Like, you don't want to end up like Mr. Dotrieve, do you?
Or maybe she was right. Bill's like, I don't want to be me. I know we were just talking about how Bill is such a great person, but you know, you don't want that life, right?
He's a good person. He's just miserable, and I don't think he's figured out how to make it all work together.
But also, speaking of like Bill's such a great person, he was willing to give Luann the money to like help her fulfill her dream, kind of like, you know, when she said, like, I will help, like, carry on your dream. So, you know, it is kind of that good nature. Bill just wants to be a part of, like, someone's success. Like, to help be that useful, I guess.
Yep. After the break, both Bill and Luann are driving to work, and they're kind of fantasizing about it. Luann's like, oh, we'll go there, and they'll say, do you have an appointment? And we say, no, we don't, because we work here. And they'll say, nuh-uh. We'll be like, uh-huh. And then Bill's like, I had a great dream last night about cutting hair, only this time the hair didn't turn into a noose and try to hang me. Which, I like that he was upbeat about it, but I'm also sad that he has those dreams. Like, I'm happy he's upbeat about the fact that he didn't have the dream for once, but I'm sad that he just has them in general. They go to Hottie's, and we realize at this point that Jax is, like, literally right across the street from Hottie's. They arrive, and it is an incredibly trending place. Like, they even have, like, a DJ, like, on staff who just spins music there, and everybody's beautiful looking and all that stuff. And they go up and they're like, hey, we're the new cutters. It's like, oh, you are? Well, we both are. It's like, all right, well, here are your uniforms. And they start walking up to a chair, and the lady's like, oh yeah, that's Rico. He's flaming hot and flaming gay. As they get to the chair, the lady comes up. It's like, excuse me, why is your client wearing a Hotties t-shirt? And it's like, oh, this isn't my client. This is Mr. Dotrieve. We're sharing the chair. And it's like, oh, no, no, no. He's not in. You guys have to leave. But we already paid a week's rent. Fine, you can stay for the week. You can go in the last chair. The day starts, and Rico, who is like the most popular person at the salon, is all booked up. And this woman comes and is like, oh, I got closing arguments in about an hour. I need an appointment. It's like, I'm all booked up, but if you're desperate, you can try the new people. So she goes back, and then Luann's like, oh, you're my first client. Now, don't feel bad, because if I screw up, it will grow back. And then Bill's like, oh, hey, let's get you all shampooed. But he's acting kind of creepy, so the lady racks him. And at home, you know, Luann's telling the story, and Peggy's like, that's the real world for you, Mr. Dotrieve getting kicked in the groin. And Hank's like, if you want to succeed, I find that it's useful to find the most successful person at work and do what they do. I feel like Luann, I think it's Mr. Dotrieve, because that's not the type of person you'd expect at a trendy place like that. But yeah, I mean, Luann totally would fit in, except for the fact that she's kind of got that childish behavior.
I also think, like, isn't Bill eating, like, some kind of ribs or something when she comes in? Like, Bill's not ready to cut hair at this, like, I don't...
Yeah, he's eating, like, pork rinds or something like that.
Yeah, Bill's just, I don't know. I wonder if his mind, he's coming off really smooth and suave, and it's just, like, we don't see that. Maybe we need... Well, actually, no. Because of last week's episode, when we go into Bill's flashback,
yeah,
Bill does not see the positive side of it. So I don't know what Bill's thinking. I'm sorry, Bill. I tried to defend you, but now I... You know, that's life. Mr. Dotrieve getting kicked in the balls.
Exactly. Back at Hottie's, they decide to try and mimic Rico, because he seems to be the most successful person. He is chair number one, after all. And, you know, they ask Rico what's his secret to success, and he says, hey, people want to feel hot and sexy, so that's what you have to give them. And so Luann goes home, and she practices being sexy in front of the mirror, and it's like, oh, you're so sexy, your hair reminds me of sex. So it's kind of in a very awkward way, and she gets down on her knees and prays to God. It's like, God, please help me be sexy so I don't have to go back to college. At Hottie's, we see Luann. She's like wearing kind of a halter top now. She's converted her shirt, and she added pink highlights, and she's acting all sexy. And then Bill shows up, and Bill's pretending to be gay. He's like grown out his beard a little bit. He's opened up the top of his shirt. He's wearing a bandana, and he's mimicking Rico. And Luann and Bill's, they're still sharing a chair, so they get up to each other like, yeah, this is going to work. And You know, they're like, we need to give a sign, and Luann's like, okay, if I'm not acting sexy, pull your ear like this, and then Bill's like, okay, do the same thing if I'm not acting gay. And one guy goes up and is getting her hair cut. It's like, oh, tell me all about your boyfriend. Is he cute and stuff? And Rico's not happy. He's like, oh, I bet that slut stole my Yoplait from the fridge. Then we get this montage of like Luann acting sexy. Like she'll blow the hair off of people's shoulders all gently. And Bill is like looking at all the girls, looking at the hot magazines of hot male models. And Bill rips one of them off and puts it in his shirt as if, oh, this is my guy and stuff. So they're starting to get more popular. Now they're at the club hanging out with coworkers. And one of the ladies is like, oh, the drinks are on me. You know what I say? I can't cut hair without a hangover. And Bill's like, I'll have a beer. And then Luann pulls her. He's like, oh, what I meant was I'll have a swirl. He's like, I like my drinks. Like, I like my men strong, sweet, and under an umbrella. And then they're like, okay, let's all go dancing. Beto, which is now his new name, or the name he goes by, Beto. It's like, Beto, show us the dance that got you kicked off of Fire Island. And the girls are loving him. They're all dancing and twerking with him and stuff. And he's like, oh, if I weren't so damn gay, I'd be with all of you. And the woman's like, oh, I feel so bad for you. He's living in being so gay and living in this small town. There's no 24-hour gyms, no TGI Fridays, which I didn't realize that TGI Fridays, or I guess Fridays nowadays, was known for being a gay hangout. Or maybe that's just a small town thing. I don't know. But that joke does not make sense to me. So if there's anybody out there who has context, just let me know.
Huh, interesting. I didn't know that either. But I do love TGI Fridays. Endless Apps is the best thing. Though, I don't know. Are they all closed? They all closed around me.
I don't know. I know like a few years ago they went through rebranding and now they just called themselves Fridays and they did some stuff. But honestly, I've not stepped foot in a TGI Fridays in a long time. So I have no idea if it's still closed or open or whatever. They're one of the girls at the club's like, oh, Beto, don't look now, but that guy's checking you out. And he looks over and it's John Redcorn. And he's not like, he's staring at Bill, not in a checkout way, but like a, what the hell is his deal kind of look, like a perplexed look. At Hottie's, we see Luann. She gets a $10 tip and she's like, oh my gosh, this is my first ever $10 tip. And the guy's like, yeah, you earned it. Now meow like a kitty. And Luann's like, meow? Beto walks in and he's getting more stereotypically gay. Like now he has one of those giant mustache, handlebar mustaches. And, you know, he's getting more, I guess, flamboyant in his clothes. Like he's even wearing like platform shoes and stuff. So he's becoming essentially a gay stereotype, but it's working, I guess. They're doing so well that they've actually been bumped up from last chair to second chair right after Rico. Bobby and Hank show up in order to support, and Bobby asks the lady at the front, like, oh, what shampoo should I use for myself, Virgin or Dirty Girl? And Hank's like, Bobby, truck. And Bobby goes out, and Hank's like, oh, it's glad to see you succeeding in the real world. I'm coming here to support you. And Luann's like, oh, you want a haircut? And he's like, no, I'm just here to support you. Good job. And then Hank overhears Bill's voice and turns. It's like, Bill? Bill, what happened to you? And then Bill's like trying to play coy. He's like, oh, you mean last night? I just had to disappear. He's like, what are you talking about? It's like, does your wife know you're here? And then Hank's like, well, no. He's like, I can't live like this. You have a wife and a family and people who love you and I'm all alone. Then all the girls just like, you know, oh, poor baby, and surround him and stuff. And Hank's just like, oh, I got to get out of here. And he goes to Jack's to get his hair cut. And he's like, I don't know why everyone is going there when there's a perfectly good barbershop here. And Jack's like, oh, they don't, Hotties is the future. Nobody wants to get their hair cut by me anymore. They wanted to get hair cut by a pretty girl with all her teeth. So it's funny. So that's where I find problematic, because Bill is becoming just a massive stereotype of gay people. It'd be like if Bill was trying to act black and he, you know, he came in with like a pimp suit or whatever. He was trying to act Mexican and he had like, you know, a wife beater and like a teardrop tattoo or whatever. You know, he's like playing up the stereotypes, where I think would be problematic nowadays. But at the same time, I think it's also showing, and I don't know if this is intentional or not, but I think it's also showing like how, at that point in time, how people perceived gay people. And Bill was just trying to be that. And my guess is, in a small town like Arlen, a lot of people don't like interact with just normal gay people. Like, all the gay people they know are the ones on TV. And the only other gay people we see, or the only other gay person we see in this episode, is Rico. And he's a bit of the stereotype. Not nearly as much as Bill is, but he's definitely there.
Yeah, I mean, isn't he just picking all this up from Rico? Like, he's just taking what Rico does and, like, amping it up.
Pretty much.
By five. I love how quickly Bill thinks, though, when Hank enters the room, like, enters, and he kind of twists it all on Hank.
Yeah, that was a really quick thought. Yeah, because I'm guessing he didn't have time to rehearse it, but he made it work. I mean, it sounded believable, and all the women went for him, so. So let me see. So we're back in the alley, and Dale and the guys are all there, and Bill's still dressed up in his gay attire, because I guess he's just adopted this lifestyle now, or adopted this character. And Dale's trying to guess what he's dressed up like. He's like a pirate, a gondola operator, a waiter, a pirate waiter. And Hank's like, he's supposed to be gay. And Dale's like, really? I don't see it. And Dale, Bill's like, oh man, it's wonderful to be gay. I don't know why everybody says it's so hard. And Hank's like, you're not gay, Bill. And Bill's like, oh, well, people, you know, who used to be, or Bill's like, women who used to be repulsed by me now like me. And Peggy just comes out to announce dinner or whatever. And Bill is like, hey, let's invite that hare to the party that the rest of you is throwing. And instead of being disgusted or whatever, Peggy's like, oh, charmed. She's like, oh, Bill. Let's see. So next we have the next day at Hottie's. They're doing so well that they're promoted to first chair. Naturally, Rico is not happy about this. And apparently they're like, oh, we're going to have a party later tonight with the girl who got kicked off of American Idol. She's going to be cage dancing. Okay, whatever. And all of a sudden this woman comes up and he's like, oh, Scott dumped me and I want him to see what he's missing. I need a haircut. And Bill is like, oh, don't worry, I'll make him jealous. And he takes her to like a different chair, and it's like, oh, I don't want to get hair on my blouse. So she takes off her shirt and puts on a robe, and Bill is like really attracted to her. He's like, oh, were you trying to see something? I saw your bosom move. And it's like, oh, haired mistress told me that you got dumped by your guy too. I'm really into astrology, and I can tell we're kindred souls. It's, you know, your aura is so warm. It's such a shame that you are gay. And Bill's just like, ah! And then he just yells out, I'm not gay. And then the woman's like grossed out by it. It's like, oh no, you were interesting when you were gay. Now you're gross. And then he's like, bye. And then, and then the head lady's like, you know, when you were gay, you're intriguing, but now I see you're just a sleazy barber. You have to leave. But she's like, Lorraine, you can stay if you want. And she's like, but I can't leave Bill behind. He's like, he's the whole reason I'm in this and everything. And it's like, well, you know, you have a choice to make. He can't stay here, and you either have to come with us or leave. And so Luann turns around and fires Bill, and like, okay, the shirt stays here. And Bill takes off the shirt and sheepishly leaves. I still feel so bad for Bill on this one. I mean, granted, he was trying to be somebody he wasn't, so it was like always going to backfire. But at the same time, you just can't help but feel bad for him.
Yeah, I guess the only the downside was Bill's so lonely and he wants to be with someone that he couldn't keep up the facade anymore. So, you know, and I mean, like, I don't know. It's wrong of her to be. I don't know. Is it? I don't know how I feel about her. Like, she was clearly flirting with Bill, right?
She was. Like, I don't know what I would have done in the situation, because it sounds like, and maybe, you know, she was just, because she was just done with a breakup or whatever, she wasn't in, like, the right set of mind. Because I've definitely had that happen in my life. Not necessarily me pretending to be gay, but, like, a woman who becomes overly flirty because they just broke up. And then, like, you know, I don't know, maybe a month, 2 months, whatever later, they start to realize, like, oh, you know, I was just trying to fill this void or whatever. I don't know if this is the situation here. But yeah, she definitely is acting flirty with Bill. But maybe she's doing it because she thinks he's gay and it's safe. Like, sometimes I'm not a woman, so I could be completely off base. But I've asked some of my lady friends about this stuff before. And sometimes they feel comfortable around gay people because they know that, like, a gay person isn't trying to sleep with them or whatever. So the gay, like, the guy's being genuine, and they can just be more honest without getting any feedback or anything like that, or worrying about leading the guy along. So maybe she was just being that way because she legit thought Bill was gay, and so thought, okay, yeah, it's safe, I can say this stuff. But then when he wasn't gay, then she was like, oh, no. But yeah, I mean, I get it. Like, if I was Bill and you have this really attractive woman talking about how bad she wants to be with you, or, you know, it's a shame you're gay and whatever, I'd probably break the facade as well.
Yeah, but unfortunately, she is not attracted to Bill. And he loses it all, even his shirt that he made himself.
So sad. I feel bad for Bill.
I mean, that's Mr. Dotrieve, though.
Yeah, I mean, it is kind of like his own fault, because, like, he was being somebody he's not. Which there's, you know, room for argument that, well, if he wanted the girl to love him, he shouldn't. Or if he wanted people to like him, he should have just been genuine. But at the same time, I don't know. They wouldn't give him the time of day. Like, not even a woman dating him, but just, like, in terms of living life, they wouldn't give him the time of day. In terms of being able to work, they wouldn't give him the time of day if he was straight.
Yeah.
So we're back at the alley, and Bill's sad, and he's not wearing his shirt. He's just sitting on the cooler, and Bill wishes he was gay, and Hank's like, oh, you know, you were too good for the salon, and he's trying to boost him up, and he's like, Luann fired me and stuff, and she threw the cottage cheese out of the mini fridge into the street, and Hank's upset to hear this because, you know, you don't turn your back on a friend, and Hank walks away to give Luann a talking to, and Dale's like, so are you ever going to put on a shirt, Bill? At Luann's house, Luann's like cutting her shirt up to make it even more skimpy so she could be more sexy and stuff, and Hank gives Luann a talking to, and she's like, but Bill wasn't being sexy, and this is my career, blah, 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 and Hank's like, you don't turn your back on friends. Hank's like, maybe Peggy's right. Maybe you should go to college and take some courses on being a decent person. He walks away, and as he walks away, you can kind of see, like, from Luann's house, she's able to see across the street and see Bill's trash can, and Bill's throwing away all of his shoes, the $700 worth of shoes that he bought, and he, like, rips off his mustache, which apparently was a glue-on, and throws it away, and he looks all sad and defeated. So Luann decides to do the right thing, and she brings Bill back to Hottie's, and she tries to stand up for him, and they're all like, no, you can't be there. And then Luann gives kind of a rousing speech where she's like, he can't help it if he's straight. It's in his DNA. But you know what? Hair doesn't care if you're gay or straight. It just wants to be loved, and we should all be like Hair. And everybody kind of gets teary-eyed in the salon except for the head lady, and she's just like, okay, you're fired too then. And Luann bounces, and everybody just kind of goes back to their thing. In the street, you know, they're packing up the car, and they're kind of happy of being free and that they can kind of be themselves and not have to put on this act all the time. But they both want to continue doing hair, though, and they just don't know what to do. And Hank looks across the street and sees Jax, and's like, ah, I got an idea. So they walk into the store, and Jax's like, Hank, you need another haircut? Hey, you can pay me in food. And then Hank's like, hi, how about two employees? And points out Bill and Luann, and then Jax's like, hey, weren't you guys the first chair at Hottie's? And like, well, we were. It's like, oh, this is great. I stole the first chair from Hottie's. I'm going to be doing well. I might even be able to pay back the muscular dystrophy jar. So then we see maybe a day or two later or whatever, and now Jax is popping. I mean, it's still a traditional barbershop. They haven't changed it. It's just that now they're full of customers. Luann is doing Peggy's hair, and Peggy is like, oh, this haircut looks great. You know, you can save money and move back in, to which Luann is happy about. Then we see Bill working on Bobby's hair, and he's dyed it blue, and Bill's like, if your dad asks, remember, it will grow back. And the episode ends.
I think this is the best for everyone, right? Like, this is the best for everyone, right? Like, Jack works, like, Jack gets two new, like, really good hairdressers. Luann and Bill have, like, Bill's got a cool side job that he enjoys doing now. Luann's got a job. You know, I really love when Peggy asks her to move back in. I really love that, like, that moment. Didn't Hank also tell Luann to move back in a, like, another episode? Like, when she had that apartment with all the roommates, right? Yeah.
And another episode she does, I can't remember which one it is, but I know what you're talking about. There's an episode where he offers her the room or whatever.
Oh, but I think she denies it. Or I don't remember. But I like it that they offer. It's when Luann's doing well and like she's able to get on her feet and she's like working and she's making money that they offer to bring her back in. Because it's like now she can do it. So now that she's able, she knows she's able to do it. She's able to save money now. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they don't kick her out because they don't like her. They kick her out to, like, for her to learn. And once she's learned something, they're there, like, back to help her. And I really love that about, like, the Hill family and that sense that it's, like, a really tight-knit family. They're really good. And, like, I love Luann's change in morality, like, to help Bill. And to, like, realize that she's only there because Bill helped her. And now it's, like, she gets to help them. And now they get to help Jack. And Bobby's got blue hair now.
Yep. Well, with it growing back, I guarantee he's going to get his head shaved.
He's got so very little hair, though.
Yeah, he already has a buzz cut, but I guarantee Hank's going to take off whatever little he has.
Or maybe they just dye it back.
I guess.
He's blonde, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I don't see him dyeing it back either. I literally think they're just going to cut it off and he's going to have to grow it back. Because I don't see Hank, even for like half a day, accepting this. It's just not his character. I do like that everything kind of ends out well, or ends up well in the end. I did think it was kind of tongue-in-cheek, the whole speech about, like, oh, he can't help it that he's straight. He was born that way because, you know, you hear kind of the opposite. And in a sense, it kind of upsets me, even though it's funny, because I do think it kind of trivializes what gay people were going through at the time and have been all the time, where people are like, hey, it's not our fault. This is the way we're born. And, you know, you're hating us because it's the way we are. So for her to be like, oh, don't hate on him because he's not gay. He was born this way. I kind of feel like it's trivializing it, but it's also kind of funny in a tongue-in-cheek kind of way.
Yeah, I mean, this is a different time, and I don't know. I can see where you're coming from. They do kind of... I think at the end of the day, everyone learned their lesson, you know?
Like, yeah.
Bill and Luann learned, like, not they can succeed without being fake, and, like, I mean, I guess Rico's the same. I still think Rico's annoying, though. He's too mean.
He is mean. And I do think that is ultimately the lesson here, is that they really needed, like, Hotties was not the place for them. Even though it was trendy or whatnot, the fact that they had to behave like people they weren't in order to be accepted and to be successful, like, I get it. They needed to be in a place where they could be their authentic selves. Now, granted, in any job, there's nothing wrong with, like, adapting and changing your way or whatever. Like, that's just part of human growth. But Bill's not gay, for example. He's not gay. Just because he acts gay doesn't mean he all of a sudden became gay. So, at the same time, Bill is like, I guess at the same time, it's like, he's acting like something he's not and he's never going to be. Luann, I guess Luann is sexy, but she is definitely, like, turning it up to a 10. I guess that's not natural for her, too, because she kind of admits that, oh, she's glad that she doesn't have to act like that anymore. So I guess that's kind of the message of the story, is you kind of just have to be yourself. Now, granted, I guess you could argue that they wouldn't have gotten the job at Jax if they weren't at Hotties beforehand, but I think that is ultimately the lesson. It's like, you know, to be successful in your career, you should be able to just be yourself and not have to create a fake persona in order to be successful.
Mm.
At least that's my takeaway.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, for sure. And I do like that this carries on for a little bit, right? Like, they work at Jax for a little bit.
Yep.
After that, So Luann's working at Jax in the prom episode.
Yep.
So I like this. Yeah. Overall, this is really one of my favorite episodes. I like it. I like the little con cameos in there where mm-hmm. he's really obsessed with getting his hair cut by the first chair and all that. So, and seeing John Redcorn in a nightclub, that's fun too. So this is a really, even though it's one of the new episodes, I still love it. So it's a really fun watch.
Yeah, that's a good point too. Con was in the first chair getting his hair cut by Luann and Bill, which is kind of funny because, you know, in any other situation, Con would not have wanted Bill anywhere near him.
Yeah, unless he's first chair at Hotties. But you know what? The twist is, though, Bill leaves him for someone else, you know?
That's true. Bill goes to do that girl's hair that winds up unraveling his whole story, and Luann stays behind and does Con's. But yes, this was a great episode. I mean, all of these episodes are great. We'd say it 1,000 times. There's no bad. Okay, that's not true. There are some bad episodes of King of the Hill, but generally speaking, they're all great. But, you know, this one is definitely worth the watch, and I would recommend it. We just don't see a lot of Bill and Luann interacting, it was kind of nice to see it. I think I really would have to sit and think about it. I think this is probably one of the only episodes that they do. I can't, off the top of my head at least, I can't think of another one where they interact.
No, not a strict Bill and Luann team up, so.
Yeah, so it is a nice episode. But that's all I got. What about you?
Yep.
So the next 2 weeks, we're actually going to be doing two-parter. So, like, next week, we're going to do the first part of Propane Boom. And then the following week, we're going to do the second part of Propane Boom. And, yeah, I think this is actually, like, the first two-parter in the entire series. So stay tuned. It's going to be a fun one. Until then, I'm Jason.
And I'm Jimmy.
Bye.
Bye.